more money in the future.
Yes. Okay, folks, let's go ahead and get started. So as I mentioned before, next week is midterm week. Tuesday is review, Thursday is the test. The test won't be that hard, although it will be harder than the questions you have gotten in class. The assumption is that you're going to have actually spent some time thinking about the material. Yes?
Format?
Basically, multiple choice, you know, true, false, and some short answer things. So it'll be in class here.
Largely conceptual as opposed to, actually writing JavaScript?
You'll have to read some JavaScript.
Okay.
And maybe insert a line or two. You're not going to write whole functions. Because Lord help us if we have to grade that. It's just painful. And again, I think the best way when you're writing, midterms I really feel like, and finals are about testing your conceptual knowledge. And then projects or stuff saying, can you actually build something? Because, coding nowadays, when I code stuff, I go like, what was that? I don't remember that thing. Let me look it up. You know, you're doing that all the time. I mean, just keeping all the stuff in your head is nearly impossible. But you should have enough in your head so you can navigate this, so you know what you need to look for. And that's what I try to test on. So that's next week. So this is the last bit of lecture material that will be on the midterm. And this class, I'm really trying to pull together stuff that we've been doing throughout and kind of show how they fit together. Well, basically, I'm taking the stuff Alexei did on the client side with jQuery UI, the small demo he had, and I've turned that into a Node.js application in Express. It's rather simple, but it's got a few little bits here and there for you. So in principle, if you've been looking at the Express framework and the examples I've given you, you've figured out much of this, but I'm guessing a lot of you have gaps. So this will hopefully help you with some of the gaps, and we can fill it and ask questions. So first off, let me show you what we're going to get to, and then I'm just going to start building it from scratch, while copying over files and showing you the files as we go. So first off, let's get the app running. This is okay. So let me see how bright this I can get this. Okay. No, that's rather odd. Okay. Anyway, I'm not going to worry about it. No problem. So first off, let's run node app.js. Express is listening on port 3000. Is this big enough? Do you need me to make this a little bigger? Okay, sure. Yep. That's what, huh? I like Ubuntu. Okay. Gross.
No, Gentoo. Linux from scratch.
All I can say is I started using Debian about what? Okay, like 97 or something like that. I was using Debian's been around for a long time. I've been using it since like the late 90s, and honestly, Ubuntu is Debian with some polishing, and the polish some people may like or not, but the underlying system is Debian, and it's the best packaged stuff out there. But we can go into a debate about that if you wish later, but anyway. So first off, I've got it running. It's running on port 3000. You'll see that it's already remembering, my browser's remembering things I've already filled in, but that's just the browser doing that. And then I hit submit, and I get this page. You notice the URL add. I'll show you the code for this other page is almost identical. I had to make a few little tweaks. Actually fixed a bug or two. There are a few names that were left out.
That's
probably true. Yes. But then all this does is, you send it to it and then it sends it right back. One thing I'm going to talk about in the course of this is a few points on security, which will start coming up more and more as we go on, because as you will see in what we build here, there are certain security issues that are just fundamental to how you build web applications. And there's a reason why everyone seems to get it wrong. It's because the paradigm almost invites errors. And as a researcher, I'm actually very interested in how to prevent that, and I have not figured it out. I've got a few things, but still it's mostly on your guys' heads. So I'm going to at least try to let you know how you can cause yourself problems almost without trying. So anyway, so we have a Node application running. We have this here. Now my goal is I'm going to make a new one. I'll make it in class. So now I've made a directory in class, and we're going to make a new Express application. I've already installed Node. So, you know, you go to the Node website, do their install for Windows, Mac, or whatever. I used the Ubuntu mechanism, added the packages and stuff, installed Node and NPM. I then did an NPM install -g of Express. So I have Express installed, I have NPM installed, I have Node installed. That's basically what we need right now. What do I do now to get a Node application up? I mean, an Express-based application up? NPM is, so Node is the runtime. NPM, now everything else is written in JavaScript, by the way. NPM is written in JavaScript. And if you download the standalone executable for Node, you can just download a zip file of which contains all the JavaScript files for NPM, and then you can do it all. So actually in the lab, you can do all this on the Windows boxes if you wanted to. I'm going to try setting that up actually for you guys for a tutorial tomorrow so you can play with it. But, yes?
Is there any, outside of sort of general Microsoft state, any particular glaring reason why one would choose Linux as the development environment over Windows?
So, in general, doing any sort of development based on open source technologies is easiest done in Linux, in general, because that tends to be the native environment for it. macOS is secondary, but macOS is very close to Linux, so the semantics tend to be the same. Windows is, for most applications, an afterthought. It's used by some people, but it's not the primary thing. So it's just a bit more annoying. I just find, Unix was built originally as an operating system for development. It still is. And there's certain development applications on Windows that are very nice in terms of, Visual Studio. But honestly, the strengths of something like Visual Studio are on Linux, you can use things like Eclipse, which is better. It's good in some ways, not so good in other ways. But IDEs in general are a funny thing. They provide functionality that, for a lot of kinds of development, doesn't necessarily help you that much. It's stuff that you can get by making a little script to automate the build process. You should be using some build thing for. For looking up symbols and documentation that can sometimes be useful, but there's various editors and other things can do that. In general, I find if you're using a language like Java, you have to have a good IDE. Java's nearly impossible to do without a good IDE. But a reasonable language doesn't need a giant IDE. So, again, personal opinion, there's lots of argument, but there's nothing wrong with using that. Yeah.
Are we likely to get tripped up by TAs probably using Linux and some?
If you're doing it, the whole thing is, if you're doing it in Node, you're doing it in JavaScript. And if you're doing things, the only thing that could probably trip you up is you start doing weird things with paths.
Right.
But you should be accessing pretty standard. I think it does pretty standard things for if you're doing the standard requires and other things. It knows how to deal with file system local things. So unless you start encoding like C colon in your paths and stuff like that, you should be fine. try to use forward slashes in paths. That's about the main thing. I mean, not to say there aren't other things that will trip you up, but this class, you can certainly use Windows. I don't have any objections to you using Windows, but...
I think all of us will be doing our marking on Linux, though.
Yeah,
right, so
it's true.
Like, backslashes would probably, like,
possibly, yeah.
On the front end, the fonts are different.
Well, that's why you install MSTT core fonts. And you have all the standard fonts that everyone uses. Those are freely available. They're a package away on any major Linux distribution if you want them.
It's just something to be aware of.
Yeah, it is true. It is true that there are some slight font differences, although modern distributions have some pretty good fonts in them. As a computer science student, you should be familiar with Linux. I mean, because the cloud is Linux. The cloud is Linux to the point that Microsoft has to support Linux and has to port their technologies to Linux for anyone to use it in the cloud. So, I mean, they're competing with Linux, and they've got some stuff going on, but Linux is the standard stuff. So, and as you see with web apps, half of it's in the cloud. So, anyway, so we've got an empty directory. I want to start an Express application. What do I do first? Express. So if I just type Express, you're going to see Express. Oh, wait. No, that's not what I want. Oh, I know. I thought I'd already done this. Anyway, So Express is installed, and so so you'll notice it gives various options. So what we're going to do is Express, we want to default to Jade, so we're not going to specify the EJS or JS HTML. So I'll explain exactly what we've talked about Jade, but I'll show you Jade in more detail. And so we'll default to Jade, but I do want to use stylus, although I'm not doing anything with stylus right now. So now I ran that. I had an empty directory before, and now I have this. An application has magically appeared. Now, this won't run yet, because first it says cd in current directory and npm install. So I had to run npm install. Run. Done. And then it's now ready to go. All this stuff did is made the node modules directory. Now, if you look at the size of these things, so you'll notice that the app is 4K, package is 4K, 20K, 12K. This is the place where you put your stuff. This is where the code got dumped from that command I just ran, the npm install. It just grabbed a bunch of other JavaScript files, and now there's 4.4 megs of code right there. That's stuff you're going to use implicitly. If you need to mess with it, you can, but in general, try not to go there. Don't break abstraction levels unless you have to. But we have a working application, I believe. Let's try running it. So we go node app.js express server listing on port 3000. Okay. Let's go to our browser and Express Hello World. Okay? Now, we had that code from last time, right? So, first off, let's just make that first page that come up show us our form. That's what we want to do. Where do we put it? So I got these directories. So the key thing with a framework is it gives you an organization for your code and a bit of boilerplate code that does a bit of stuff. The idea of a framework is you stick in more stuff. The functionality of this is provided by a middleware layer, mainly Connect. That's what provides the infrastructure for doing a web server on top of Node. So I've got directories, so I don't want to mess with node modules. That's the modules that came with it. Package.json, if you look at that, that says my dependencies. That tells you what's off in the node, in the package directory. App.js is my main file. That's the main JavaScript file that I run. We should look at that in a second. But we've got this public routes and views. What are those directories?
Since it's a forum,
it's a forum? A forum, yeah. It's a forum, yeah.
So wouldn't that forum be used like that?
Yes. Now, so telling you about these directories, the public directory is essentially a static web server. Everything in public just comes up as a static web thing. You can just dump whatever you want, and those directories will appear. So you have to worry about conflicts a little, but you'll see how that gets resolved in a little bit. But you'll see here. So if you want to stick in style sheets here, you want to stick in your JavaScript that's already hand-coded, that's going to go to the client side, images and everything, you dump them all here. This is the standard directories it's given you for it. Yes?
And the middleware takes care of you requesting your localhost or whatever /public/images.
You don't say public, you'll just say /images. Yeah. So in order to get the stuff in images, so like for example, here I should be able to go /images. Now it might not. Okay. Oh, I killed the program. That'd be why. node. Bring up the web server again. I'm not sure actually what it does here. Oh. So now it's there, but it gives me an error saying I can't get images. The reason why it says that is because I can't do a directory listing there. But okay, so, but let's see if I'm right here. Okay. Okay, let's do that. So I have a test.jpg, and if I'm correct, I'm not sure if I have to add a route for this. So, we have a picture. So you see, I just dump a file there, but you notice directory listings don't work. We can make directories listings work. You can add a line to make this work, but by default, you can't list directories. But you can get specific files, which is exactly generally what you want. Normally, web servers don't just let you give random directory images. Yes? Yeah, normally you don't want to just give directory listings unless it's a directory that you specifically want the user. So you see it defaults to something, not providing too much functionality out of the box, but providing the necessary functionality. So we have a static web server. Yay. Now, but that's not, so we can dump things, code that we get. So what part of the standard application, of the thing that we were doing before, do we want to put in there? So remember all those libraries that we had before? We dump them here. So in fact, what I will do is, I happen to have demo query UI here. And remember there was these libs here? I'm just going to copy libs right here. That's just wrong. okay. Have it. So now we have. Oh, sorry. The libs in the wrong place. I'm putting libs in public. So you notice now there is a libs directory in public. So now all the code that we had accessed before, as includes and everything, is now here. So if you look in libs, we have jQuery, we have Bootstrap, we have jQuery UI. All those things now can be served by our web server. Done. Now that's just for static things. Anything dynamic has to go elsewhere. And so The views is where we put the templates of the pages we want to generate. And the routes is where we put the code that defines how to use the templates. Got it? So if we go into views, you'll see there's two things, two JADE files. Now, first off is index.jade. So this is a general template for web pages. And you see now it just says, so it says, layout.jade is the general one. This is the one that says, how are pages going to look for this application by default? And you see now it says, okay, it's going to be a doc type file. It's going to be regular, HTML. We want a header. We want a body. We need a title. We need to bring in a style sheet, and we need some content. The content, the block content, is defined by the other files on a page-specific basis. And so if you look here, index.jade, it says extends layout. So that was the other file that we have. So this is builds on that template. And here, our content block is going to be have a title for the first-level header, and then a paragraph, welcome to Jade. This is the standard thing that Express comes with. This we have to change if we want our front page to look different. So what I did, I'll show you the files that I created before. So we're going to copy these. So views. So let's copy index.jade here. Okay. So index layout. So now we have index.jade and layout.jade. What is my new index dot? Let's look at my layout.jade. Now, the basic thing you should notice for Jade in looking at it is essentially you can use any tag you want in HTML, and it does the right thing. But instead of, when you want to say attributes for the tag, instead you just use open paren and give it as a comma separated list for whatever thing you want. But for IDs and classes, it has special notation for it. For classes, you just say dot after the tag name. For IDs, you use a hash. So you'll see that in the next one in a second. But here, so every page is going to have same thing, body, block, content. But in the headers, what do we want? We're going to keep, the title is going to be whatever title we define for the application. This equal sign means use the variable title as the title here. So that will be into this template, we're going to pass in title. So I'll show you where that comes from in a second. But then the rest of this is just static, and you notice it's just a bunch of script lines and style sheet and link lines to the style sheets. So this will generate the headers that we want for our page. This will give us Bootstrap, this will give us jQuery, jQuery UI, all there. Questions, sir? Then we go to index.jade. So now this is our new index, which extends layout, so we'll get all of that stuff that we just showed. And now the content is this. This is it. So first one, fill out your info. Here's the form, method post. This is a change I made from the original. I gave it an action tag because I didn't want it to go to the same URL. I want it to go to add. So that's where we get the slash add. So when it posts, it's basically posting to add, so that's the result you're going to get is the add page. And then we have our div. So it's the class. We had two classes for the first div, control group input append. We say dot dot rather than say class equals. Would it help if I brought up the old page for side-by-side comparison, or do you remember that? Or
what's syntax?
What, huh?
It's a different syntax. Right now we're in Jade.
Exactly.
I'm struggling mapping the two together to...
Right, that's what I'm saying is it's identical in terms of what it produces. But instead, so here, what would you normally have for a div? Instead, for a div, you'd normally have Well, let me just bring it up. Why am I talking through this? And I will bring up handy dandy Emacs. Okay, fine. Have I changed my bind? Okay, there we go. Okay, let's find. Oh, no, that's not what I want. We'll go to 16. There we go. Can you see that okay? So what I'm going to find first is demo query UI. So we had index.html. So this was the original page, the HTML. So remember, there's a header and a body. And for the header, we had a bunch of we have a bunch of divs, and they have these classes here. And then, here this div is in these classes. Here is this input field with this text. So you see, this is what you were what we did before. Now, what we instead have here is we have index, we have layout.jade. This is what specifies the headers. And here's what specifies the content. So, I don't know about you, but this looks a lot more readable to me than this. Even with syntax highlighting. What?
The layout basically replaces the CSS
file. No, this is not CSS. I'm not doing any CSS here. The CSS now is coming from Bootstrap and jQuery UI. They have those big files that we included. We're specifying classes and things, and there's CSS stuff happening, but we're not directly doing that. Yes?
We might get to this, but when you were setting up Express, the options seem to suggest either less or stylus.
Yes. So lesser stylus was for the CSS templates.
Right.
And so I'm not. I just specified stylus. So I'm going to do that later, but I'm not doing anything today.
When did Bootstrap get into the equation?
When did Bootstrap get in there?
Yes.
How did I get the code in there? Remember when I copied the libs directory?
Right.
All the Bootstrap code is in libs as static HTML, as static files that will be loaded by the client.
It's not a node module.
It's not a node module. I'm not doing that. This is client-side. All the node has to do in order for the client to work is give the client the right things. One part of that is there's just big chunks of stuff I just want to send, like images, like these pre-written JavaScript. That's just going to get sent on down, and that's what's using this. That's what the public directory is for. It's basically a little static web server. You can just stick whatever files you want there.
So Bootstrap is like jQuery, is a client-side JavaScript
yes.
library.
Yes.
Which
it builds on jQuery. It extends,
Okay. I don't think it actually extends.
It extends less.
Bootstrap is not the extensions for Bootstrap do use jQuery, but you don't need jQuery to actually use Bootstrap.
Right.
It seems to you call jQuery at the very in the main file.
The CSS itself.
No, the JavaScript.
Oh, yeah.
The main JavaScript file, the end of it says jQuery.
I don't usually.
Yeah, so So, I mean, everyone uses jQuery nowadays. It's just kind of this infrastructure people assume because they don't want to mess with browser-specific stuff.
Actually, Neil, can we go back into the doc?
Yeah.
Yes, I did close a link with the script tag.
Yeah. That's another thing I fixed.
HTML just does not care.
Yeah, well, actually, you get some errors in the browser. If you, also, I think some of the errors we got generated.
What you get when you ask for something?
Yeah, no, that's no. But this is But this is one of the reasons why it's nice to use a template engine, because you don't have to worry about making sure things close. It does it for you. But the real reason for using templates, if you're doing dynamic web pages of any kind, you're using some sort of templating mechanism. Traditional templating mechanisms, you have standard HTML surrounding your code. Here, I like Jade because it's simplified HTML and gotten rid of a lot of possibilities for errors. And yet, you still have access to everything in HTML. Because every tag, you just put it in there as a keyword, and it automatically does the beginning. It understands the the XML-like stuff of HTML. So, and you can stick in literals if you want. But the real power of templates come in is when you start auto-generating things. Like, you can actually put loops in it. It lets you add some repetitive element in there. You don't have to copy it 5 times. You can use the template and just have a loop that does it 5 times. Or as many times as needed for that page. So again, this page now, when I code it, I don't have to worry about adding the... you're adding things... So hold on 1 second. Now, note the syntax here. The dot after a tag specifies classes. Hash after a tag specifies identifiers. So you notice here, we're naming this input country. This is ID. Here, we're giving the span... we're giving it a class of icon-asterisk. Yes?
So, control group, the dot control group dot input append, does that mean...
They're both classes of the first one.
But it doesn't mean that input append is a subclass?
No, because there's no subclassing these tags. It's just, they're all at that same level, because when it gets translated to HTML, you just have... You have a list of tags, of classes, and that's what it comes out as. So I just directly translated this. It's really essentially exactly the same, except for fixing a couple of bugs and stuff. So the bugs here, it turns out that there wasn't a name field for all four of these. You need a name field for each of these. You know why you need the name field? So what do these fields do? So the divs are specifying blocks to format things in. So the blocks specify, the divs specify content for in different groups, but then the input here, that's specifying somewhere to input text, and then we're having the label for it. That's what we're doing for each of these four elements, and we're saying this is a text input. These are all text inputs, except for this one's a checkbox. We're giving them names because that's the way when the form is submitted, that's the name that's given to the server for the value of that field. So, important. I actually had to debug this. I was like, why am I not getting these values on the server side? It's like not getting nothing set. Uh-oh, I didn't specify the name. So. And then data required again. What was this to? Who interpreted that? A jQuery validate. Remember we had that validation library? So that's a little thing for it to know that it's supposed to do some validation. But this, to understand this, it's the same as the other. We've just changed syntax, and so changing syntax, it's a bit simpler. I'm not really using any of the additional power of Jade. Now you notice these little normally after a tag, if you want to specify what goes between the start and end tags, here we're just specifying one, you would either put it on the line afterwards or you put them indented in lines after this. If you want to specify this is interpreted as another tag, the vertical line means it's interpreted as a literal. So I could have done if I didn't have this asterisk, I could have just put birthday right here at the end of the line. But since if I put span here, then I couldn't put birthday underneath. So that's why I had to list them under at the on multiple lines afterwards. Indentation, by the way, in Jade is very important. The hierarchical relationship of the HTML tags is represented through indentation here. So it's Python-like in that. Two spaces. Yeah. So anyway, I did a direct translate. This is the old HTML code to the new HTML code. I just put it into Jade, showing you this. Now, how do I use this? Now, how much of the app works now? What happens now if I try running this thing? All I've done is I've updated my views, and I copied in a bunch of static files. Let's try running it. So it still runs. That's good. And now let's go here to the front thing. And look! It's back.
Can we view the source of what?
Yeah. Except for the new lines, which is a little annoying, but...
You can wrap it.
How do you wrap it?
In Vim, all you'd have to do is gg equals capital G.
Hey, what'd you say? In Firebug, I don't have Firebug running right here, but anyway. So anyway, but you see here... You see the script tags, then you see, you know, so it's that's all the stuff loading the headers. Then you see.
Yeah, Chrome would.
I'll get Chrome up.
Yeah, just load up the DOM.
Yeah, you can go into.
Well, actually, I have a DOM viewer here. Let me just go to. I go here and go to Tools, Web Developer.
Inspect.
There we go. Let's.
No, but that's CSS.
Yeah.
Oh, 3D view.
Have you seen 3D view? 3D view is nice. Yeah. This one's this thing's kind of slow here.
It's useful for when you're designing things with floats, so you can figure out what's fucking up.
What's on top of the other, like something's getting hidden behind it and stuff, and you can find out what these tags are.
Maybe.
Good. If those, let me get Chrome up. Hold on. What is it? In Chrome, you're saying?
Right-click.
Uh-huh.
Then inspect element. What? Why does it not expand upwards?
Okay. Can I make this? How do I move that? Oh, there we go. So you'll see. So here's the head, body. We can look at the header if you want to see it, all that stuff. Otherwise, the body. Control loop input append. You can just input append here. We've got checkbox. Feel free to drive, you know, if you're doing this on your own, you know, while you're doing this, I don't mind, that's fine, but. So you see, we've got, yes?
So, Node using Jade, or Jade using Node, to basically expand that syntax into proper HTML. I understand, I'm just curious, how does Bootstrap work in the sense of, does it dynamically?
So where is Bootstrap running? Where is the code for Bootstrap running? It's all running in the browser. That Bootstrap code, the JavaScript code getting loaded in, and it is interpreting the page and changing the DOM.
Is CSS that's part of those?
Yes. It's styling added to the DOM. It's just a different syntax. You could put inline CSS, but normally CSS is put external to change, and your presentation is separate from it. But if you look in here, the classes and stuff is specified here. We're not seeing the CSS stuff. If we go to styles, then we can see the styles associated with this is the CSS.
Oh, and it's got the Bootstrap
in there, so. And you go there.
It's all one line.
Oh. See, when you start looking behind what these libraries do, you go like, oh my god.
So Bootstrap dynamically interprets class names as a set of...
It's just styling. I think there's a 95% chance you could remove the JavaScript for Bootstrap and this would work exactly the same, because I'm not explicitly using any of it.
Right, you're not doing anything dynamic.
I'm mostly using Bootstrap because it has beautiful CSS, and that's all.
Yeah, it'll look different. Ugly.
No, if you remove the JavaScript for Bootstrap, it should be exactly the same. It's not really doing the JavaScript
one. I'll let you fiddle with that. There's a couple of things I want to show first. We can do some experiments with it. But these are the kind of things when you're building your web app to understand why things, where things are coming from. It's good to try to break things and see what happens. I mean, you've got this really nice interactive environment. Just try stuff out. But now, so am I done? It doesn't do anything. So, like, let's say, well, it does do something. If I say Canada, wait. Actually, it should.
Maybe because you're
in Dominican. Oh, I think I'm in Dominican. Yeah, let me get rid of that. Yeah. Wait. Wait, what? That's interesting.
That's just cash for
auto cheese. No, but I'm surprised that I'm not getting. Oh, no, my JavaScript, I don't have any JavaScript.
Yeah.
There's no JavaScript running right now. Because I haven't copied over the JavaScript yet, remember? Notice the checkbox is still here. There is no code running. This is purely there. So in order to get that sort of functionality, in order to get this, we got to have JavaScript. We haven't brought that over. So where does the JavaScript go? So first off, let's go to the if we go to the the views, you go to the views and we look at index the layout.jade. I actually put in links for all the libs we copied over, but I did not copy this because this was our JavaScript. So I need to copy over that index.js. So I haven't got everything over there yet. So let's get that over. So copy. Okay, so that was a source. Okay. Okay, now we have that. Node.js. Server's running again. Let's run it again. And now look. Woohoo! Now we have our functionality. Now it's all running. So now let's say we fill in all the fields. It won't let us submit otherwise. And now if I hit submit, cannot post /add. So, what does this mean when you get this error? It means that when the server gets this add request, gets the post request for the add URL, relative URL, it doesn't have any rule for interpreting it. So the Express framework says, I don't know. What do I do with this? So now we need to teach Node how to handle posts for this. We need to give it instructions. So we need to give it a routing instruction. So now we have to go to the main index, the main app file. So this is the main file for our Express application. This is all code that it automatically generated, remember? I didn't put any of this together. But you'll note that it has a bunch of require statements. Some of these are things like, Express HTTP path. These are standard modules. But these two, these dot slash, those are a little different. Those are loading modules that are in specific directories that are under our control. We're going to see. put code there in order to handle the routing. But then we have, so it creates an app. This is our main object. App gets, you know, it's called by the express thing. We configure the object by calling all these sets and use. Now you notice this app set, we set the port to 3000. We set the views to be the, views are, standard directory, what directory we're currently in, plus views. The view engine is Jade, so this sets us up for using our template engine. Now, if you want to have a fav icon, we need to log stuff to, we're in development mode for logging, so it's logging lots of stuff. We're using the body parser, so it actually will parse the things that come from HTTP requests. It'll parse the body of those so we can get the options out, so we can get things like the form data. I forget what method override does. But these are all things. You don't have to mess with these. But the main thing is it's enabling this router. And here's the part where it's interesting. This is where it defines the stuff that it can do. It's actually defining only two URLs that it knows about, slash and slash users. Now, slash users, we could, that actually doesn't do anything either by default. It's just an empty thing. But slash is what we want. So, and then it creates a server. So what do you think we do if we want to define a post command? Just by looking at this pattern for slash add. So first off, what do we change in this file? Well, I want to do a post, not a get.
Sorry, app.post. Yeah.
So I want app.post. So I will bring up the other file that I had. So query. And so if we go down here, you'll see we have this line right here. So I will add that here. Add post. App post slash add calls routes dot add. So I need an add function. I need to find that somewhere. I define that in the routes, in one of the routes modules. So now I go over to routes. You'll see there's an index.js. This is the standard one. And instead, let's load up this is my modified one. So you see here, I changed this to say, instead of a jQuery UI demo with Express, so I'm giving a different title. This will be instantiated in the template where it said title. And then I create another function, exports.add. Now here's a question. Why are these exports dot? Yes?
Is there property to the object that is being returned?
So this exports is a very special thing in Node. Node has what's normally used in Node is as a module system. So you include the code for modules, and that's used by most of these things. But the modules code defines, this is how you get requires. When you say requires, it's loading a JavaScript file. It expects that JavaScript file, everything in that will be private, except for the functions that are specifically exported. And the way they are exported is they are assigned as properties to the exports object. So you could have all kinds of other functions in this here, and they would all be private. Whatever you want the module to export, you assign as a property to the exports object. And those, and if you go back to here, that's not what I want. If you go back to here, you'll notice this. So we have this var express equals this, and then app, is assigned here. notice we said routes.index, routes.add. Those index and add are being defined by the routes module. And see, that symbol routes is assigned to the result of requiring the directory routes, which get, I think it's routes and goes index.js is by default what it gets. And that would load anything else, yes?
So would that only load index.js? It wouldn't load like everything?
No. It would load the index.js. It would just load this. But this could load whatever else it wanted. So this says require routes here says load this JavaScript file, and part of requires is it's going to generate this exports object that's going to have these attributes. That's what's assigned to routes. Routes here is exports in the module. That's how you access the module's methods. See here, oh, the whole thing with functions and object properties and stuff, we've implemented this whole system for doing modules just using functions as first-class objects and, you know, these namespaces that are objects, key-value things. That's it. That's all the machinery that's here. But look at how flexible it is. So if you don't get this, I should explain it a little more, because this is rather important. No. This was automatically generated by the Express framework. That's what this is part of the benefit of Express. It automatically created this code. But what it did was, as part of the Express framework, it says, we'll set up these routes. The routes are set up as a module. You add your routes to that module, and then when it's imported, it will then get assigned to this variable, and so that when you want to do your, instantiate through the app what routes are here, you have an object to get them from. It's a way of organizing things. You could organize it a different way. You could change how Express does it. You don't have to use something like Express. It's just to make life easier. Yes? Initially, exports will be empty when you start a module. But then you define, as much as any object is empty in JavaScript, but it'll be an empty object, but of course it'll inherit from other things. But that's where you add your properties. And so you'll notice this routes module has two functions. So it'll become two methods of that object, index and add. Index was already there. I've created the add one. The add one is used here. So I'm just going to copy that file over. So routes. Oh, that's not what I wanted. So now we have that. Are we done? We've added the code for interpreting it. We've added the route for it. Let's try it. And we go here. Let's just try reloading it. Resend. Fail to look up view add. So why is that? Oh, hold on. Let's make sure I didn't. What have I left out here? So submit. Yeah, fail to look up view add. So at function app render response index. I'm trying to remember which thing I forgot. So let's go to that's because I'm in the wrong directory. Okay, layout I copied, index I copied, add I copied. Oh! That's what I forgot. I forgot to actually add the code for. So I look at index.jade. I go to. Go to views. There is no add. There's an add.jade here. What is add.jade? Let me show you that. In class. So where is this code used? Let me see if I just let me first make restart and then I'll show you. So that's it. Let's go back to see what I left out. So you see here, you say app post add routes.add. So now I go to the routes, I go to index.js, I've added a route here. This says exports add, it's a function. It takes the request and the resource. And so it says resource render. So we need to render it, the response. This add, so when we say render, this expects first to give the name of a Jade template. Right, the name of the view. So this is the name of the view you want to use, and then this is all the parameters the view needs. The view. The view has, this is a really simple page. It just says, okay, it extends layout, it's got block content. I didn't do any of the other fancy formatting stuff. I just have a headline, H1 info added, and then I have four paragraphs, and I have name, country, date, email, and I say this hash brace, this gives you the value of the parameters passed into the template. The names of them, because this expects a name, country, date, and email as parameters to it. We pass them up here, name, country, date, and email. And where do we get them from? From the request, we get it from the body of the request, which has been parsed for us, because we've loaded the right module, the name, the country, the birthday, and the email, which came from the form, which was in the URL.
The past curly brackets,
That's Jade syntax. Grab the basically for the parameters to the template. So here we're doing the dynamic page. What's the point of a dynamic page if you can't change what it's going to look like at the time? This add function, instead of just rendering it, what I could have done is added some code here to store it. To an in-memory or SQLite or MySQL or whatever, this would be the place you would add that information or process it some other way. Now we get into web security. Why?
Somebody could drop the cable, like, if it's being saved, to, like, escalate.
Well, let's step back a little bit. So right now, we've got this date here, which we're getting from request body birthday. How do we know that's actually a date? But we called validate in the form. The form checks, you know, it uses a date picker, right? It uses a date picker, you get the dates. So it must be a date, right?
The internet case closed.
Yeah, case closed. What did you say?
The internet says nothing about who is restricted. You can't restrict who's allowed to load a page.
Well, no, it's worse than that. You don't just, you, even if someone loaded the page, they could have messed with the page. All the debugging stuff you see in your browser, you can change how the page works in your browser arbitrarily. There is no reason those things that were sent via, you know, via post could be anything. I mean, you know, we're restricted to anything. I mean, the validate is a convenience for the user, nothing more. Your server can never trust validation that happens on the client. The data that comes from the client is toxic by default. You don't trust it unless you have reason to otherwise. Assume maliciousness. Assume craziness. Assume brokenness. So the way someone would get into trouble is to take this data right here, this quest body birthday, and stick it directly into a SQL store statement. That's SQL injection there for you. Seems perfectly reasonable if you don't know better for how to code this. Because it's so simple. You get data. You stick it into something. It then goes to the database. Done. You have to remember, though, anything coming from the outside world, those things coming in the requests, are not trustworthy. No matter what code you have on the client, you have to check it yourself. So a perfectly valid way to do it is have some validation routines for the data that you have the client run to make sure it's okay, and you run the same code on the server. That's what I like about Node, is that you can do that. You can make a little library to do whatever input validation you want and run it two places. And then you know you're doing exactly the right validation. But you have to run it on the server. You cannot trust it. And before it gets anywhere near any sort of back-end store, anything, you've got to be careful with that input. We'll talk about how to do this later in the course, but I'm just showing you right here, right now, this is web security. This is why it sucks. Because programmers all over the world do the easy thing rather than the right thing. So one of the nice things about using a template engine is it knows about these things. So Jade actually, I have to look it up, but it's very easy in these template engines to do some minimal protection. So I don't know exactly what sort of escaping it does, but I'm pretty sure it does some escaping of inputs. It won't just let you inject random tags unless you tell it to. But I can't be sure of that, actually. I'd have to check that. But that's the sort of thing you have to be cognizant of, because If I just outputted this page and this page actually had something sensitive on it, who knows what that thing could have done to the page? I could have inserted, you know, an entire script tag into that. Instead of a date, it's a script tag, and now when it was outputted, who knows what it makes your page do? Maybe it makes your Google account send some email. Maybe it makes you buy a book on Amazon. I don't know. What?
That's a great example.
Yeah. So when we start looking at the database integration and stuff like that, we'll look at how to, you know, take that data and make sure it's clean before you do anything. Essentially what you do is you only stick stuff back to the database when you know exactly what it looks like. But you have to defang it very carefully. And it's easy to get wrong. And there are tools, though, that can help you get it right, but you just, anything you get out of a web request, you just go, boop. Am I doing it right? You should have a little bit of fear. Because who knows what your browser, what your web server got from that? Questions? Was there? So, but notice, we can mess up the web security in doing a trivial program. This is trivial. There is nothing. This is about as simple a web app as you can. It's you're posting a form, and the server's returning a page. That's it. Now, some of you I know are doing very client-heavy things in your apps. So the good news is using Node, your work is not that hard in terms of having the content you want to send over. I mean, whatever's static, you just put it in the public directory. You know, it'll be served up. You can just define some URLs, you know, and think it's that's really, you know, it's very straightforward to do. Having said that, you probably want to do a little something more with this dynamically, like things like, you know, leaderboards if you're doing a game, or, you know, some sort of signing in and stuff like that. I want you to have some sort of back-end database component because I want you to deal with these web security issues.
Sir?
Yes?
Where does data manipulation functions come in? Like where do you put the name and
sort of function? So this is the function, and the exports add function, this is the route that, this is what gets called on the post. I can do whatever I want here. Well, I'm saying all this, I put in a res render. That means now I'm creating the response page. But I can do whatever else I want. I can set whatever values I want. I can do whatever computation I want. Now, in general, in something like Node, you don't want to do too much on any request because that'll slow your server down. But
so you can do the database first and then processing.
Exactly.
Processing.
Yeah. Well, no. You sanitize it.
Yeah.
Store it. You sanitize it, process it, store it, and then give a result.
Is there like a specific folder where we keep the functions, like classes?
So you how you organize your code? You can put it. So I wouldn't put it in the routes directory. There's a separate directory called source. Well, the source is in the pub. No. What does the JavaScript do? So if you look here, it gives you a public, that's the static stuff. It gives you a routes directory for things, and it gives you a views. You can organize your code however you want. If it's not a route and it's not a view, don't put them there. Put it somewhere else. But, I mean, now it's just, I would say you want to build some other code, maybe make it a module, make it a required, make a directory, organize it there, bring it in, depends on exactly what you're doing. But frameworks are not there to restrict what you do. They're just a starting point for organizing your code. But you should organize it how it makes sense to you.
How limited is the concept of routes? Is it simply path interpretation?
Actually, it's rather, it's actually pretty sophisticated. But in the sense of, in general, in Express, kind of, when Connect and stuff, this routing is how is the information flow in your web application, because a web application is a request comes in, you do stuff with it, and then you send out a response. The routes is directs that flow. Of this input leads to that output. So if you're doing like an Ajax-based application, for example, every kind of request that comes in from your client-side code goes through the routing. So in general, your routes won't be that complicated, but that's the core of how you're of the organization of the system.
And you can do something like default or
you can have default, but more generally what you more likely do is you have patterns.
Right.
You can do it using regular expressions, but they have some really nice ways of doing it without regular expressions. That they generate the regular expressions for you behind the scenes, but they do things like article numbers. You can say like just a colon ID or something, and it will automatically know that. Oh, here's the ID, and we'll assign in your function that you call, here's your parameter. So like, for example, you want to retrieve a blog post. You don't necessarily, you would have to parse out that, but the Node gives you some nice ways of doing this. Well, Connect does, actually, I guess. Mm-hmm.
And is it possible to run things in Node that are not request-driven alongside the REST?
What would they look like?
Times API access to refresh the backend store.
I think you can do stuff. I think there are timers and stuff like that. There's most standard system stuff. But the thing to remember with Node is it's fundamentally single-threaded. That's the whole design of it. That makes your life programming it very straightforward, but it means you have to be a little careful. Now, you might say, well, why is single-threaded better from a performance standpoint? Well, if you have a heavy app, you'd potentially run multiple instances of it in parallel on different machines, and they would access maybe a common database backend. That's how you do scalability. And honestly, it's a much more scalable way to do things. So, side administrative notes. Piazza, it's gone. Okay, I mean, I only got like 30 votes on it for like one way or the other. That's not a good sign right there. So I'll be disabling Piazza starting on like Sunday, so you won't be able to do any new content, but the old stuff will still be there if you want to refer to it. But everything that's important should have moved to the wiki. If not yet, we'll move stuff. So announcement and stuff will go through CU Learn, GitHub, you're doing stuff for your team. In the gradebook on CU Learn, the TAs are filling out fields with your team name and your TA name. If you do not have a team name and TA name, there are some of you who your TAs do not know who exactly you are. You've got weird names in GitHub, and you never told them what your real name is. And if you don't have a grade for your proposal, and you don't have a grade if you don't have a grade for your team formation, that means the TAs don't know who you are. And they probably have posted a notice to your GitHub repository, and you just haven't checked it. So most of you seem to be fine, but I'm going to try banging on you, and I need to send out an email with a list of teams that we don't know about. But, you know, we would like to give you grades. But otherwise, thank you, and see you Tuesday. We'll have a tutorial tomorrow. We'll have this code, and we'll have some other code for you to play with, and then next week review. Yep. Yep. Let's have questions. Oh, sorry. Hold.
You can just say
this. No. Hold on, guys. Well, I've told you all the answers already, so they aren't very hard. So, Express gives you a static file server by default. True. In Express, URLs are automatically resolved by looking for the appropriately named file. False. No, that does not. You gotta get these routes things. Gotta define them. It's like, no. In Node, modules declare public functions by assigning them to which object?
Exports.
Jade templates only allow you to access a restricted subset of HTML.
False.
You can do anything. The idea is it just does a straight mapping. HTML5 is just a thing, you and the tags, and it just goes there. In an HTML form, if I want to return a value called country, what parameter do I set for country? ID, name, class, 4, or type?
Name.
Name. It's exports. So exports. Keep answer with the S. Thank you.